Hey, AfterBuzzers. Tonight we're talking Supergirl, Season 3, Episode 4, The Faithful. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, I was being cheeky when I picked the music this week.
I mean,
no shame. But that's what we're dealing with.
We like irony here at AfterBuzz. So we have a lot to unpack in this episode. It is a crazy one, and I feel like we all have real strong opinions about it. So I want to jump into the episode. But first, you can find AfterBuzz at AfterBuzz TV, all over social media, and you can find me at Stephanie Wenger.
I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique, and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
I am Lex Michael. I'm here.
He's
Hello.
Back
finally. Yay! Finally. I am here. I'm very happy to be here. I'm all over social media at The Lex Michael. As you guys can see, maybe we're down both Tari and Lucretia tonight.
Yes.
Tari, unfortunately, had to take my place in the Speed Force. And Lucretia, Lucretia was having none of that nonsense. Lucretia is now hip deep in a journey through time and space to pull our fearless leader, Tari J. Miller.
Hip deep. Did she start and she do the hokey pokey?
She waded into it and now it's like a quicksand scenario and she's just trying to keep herself above while she pulls our fearless leader out of the time speed place thing.
We're going to get everybody back. There's going to be a powerful five here.
In terms of the crossover, at least.
Yeah, exactly.
My guess is after the holidays.
I have faith playing into this whole episode tonight that we're going to get all five of us here, and it's going to be amazing because I don't think we've done it yet this season, but we promise we will. So let's jump into this and talk about this. I want to call it a cult, a Supergirl cult. What is happening?
It definitely would call it a cult.
Yes.
A bunch of people worshiping themselves and kind of committing acts of terror.
Yes. By the end, Homeboy with his explosion under the hockey rink definitely qualifies.
I mean, even the fire set earlier could be considered an act of terror in order to convince everyone else that Supergirl is a god, I guess, was the end result. I know that at the very end, his whole goal was like, you know, she'll save people and then they'll join the cult, but before then, I don't know, I guess just prove that she's a god, she'll save you.
Yeah, I have to say that I felt like this was a strange move for Supergirl. I felt like we had a real path we were going on this season in the first three episodes. And this episode really felt like kind of its own separate away from what they'd been doing all season.
We definitely sidestepped a lot of what we'd been playing with for the first three, right? This is four?
Yeah, this
right?
is episode
you
four.
You just said this a minute ago. No,
it's episode four. You got it.
We definitely sidestepped a lot of what we've been dealing with, but I do think, although this is not the way in which I would have expected them to go about it, I think by the end of the episode, we fold ourselves back in a way where maybe now Kara will be directing herself away from the mope of it all, possibly.
Interesting. I feel like this will bring her kind of finding reason behind what she's doing. I think she's gotten to a point where, and we talked about it in past episodes, where like she enjoys the attention of it, and this is bringing her back to like a purpose.
Right.
In all
like
of it.
In their last conversation, Coville was talking about how like when I saw you on that plane wing, you seemed open and free, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Now you look like you had a real bummer of a breakup at the end of last season. You look like your boyfriend went through a portal. I've watched Buffy.
Yeah.
And now yeah.
It's that Lex humor.
Well, no, not for nothing, too. I keep thinking about how Buffy-like it is. She's sad and acting out because she put her boyfriend through a portal at the end of last season.
Oh.
And even though we haven't seen her boyfriend yet, even if we followed no news, mm-hmm. we know he's around this season because his name is listed among the series regulars
it's
at the beginning.
True.
It's very Buffy. And I mean true. That as a compliment. That show rocks. But I did appreciate that it seems like, okay, they acknowledge that the tone, much like Flash in their third season, the tone of Supergirl so far this season has been a good deal more somber than it's ever been. So I'm hoping that this is the beginning of a pivot back towards Kara embracing the light.
I agree with that. I do kind of feel like there has to be a balance amongst the CW shows. Like, the Flash is on an uphill right now.
And not for nothing. Like, they're nailing the tone on
Flash
this season.
They're doing a phenomenal job on Flash, but then
Joel's like, no.
I feel so opposite of everyone.
Everyone is having too much fun.
Every time you're like, I don't know. Yeah, you know who's not having fun, though? My boy Kid Flash.
That's true. Kid Flash is not having
to be. It's rude as hell.
I agree with you on that, but I feel like we should save that for the Flash after show. We can get into all of that. But I feel like this show certainly has taken that, like, negative... not negative, but there's certainly, like, more angst this season on Supergirl than we've seen in the past.
Yeah.
It kind of... I don't know if this angst has been earned yet. I was with Kara in the very beginning of the season. Your boyfriend left. That really sucks. He had to leave. He didn't really have a choice. Neither one of you was ready to let go of that relationship. That's a lot of really intense emotions to deal with. Several things hit me off, and we'll get into some of the B story. But, like, I just don't know if Kara reacted to the cult in a way that I felt was believable. And I don't know if that's... I don't know who to blame for that. It just seemed like such an out-of-nowhere episode for me. And I had a really difficult time connecting, and I didn't feel like either the cult didn't go far enough or Kara wasn't as affected by the cult as I would hope that she would be. I don't know.
I get what you're saying as far as you would think. I mean, I don't know how I would react if I was a visitor from another world and people were devoting a cult to me. But it does seem like the type of thing that you'd think would shake one to their very core. Although, again, this is super jaded, I put my boyfriend through a portal, Kara. And so, to your point, though, about maybe the somber tone of the season thus far not feeling earned, again, it's like, really, within the universe, I only have Flash to compare it to. And when you compare, like, where we were at the end of season two, where... spoilers, I guess, where Barry Watt has to watch his dad die now lost his mom, goes back in time, creates Flashpoint, erases his friend's brother, swaps out Diggle's baby for a different baby.
That was a really great season.
Huge. And the stakes are massive, and the consequences are just as massive, not just for Barry, but for the people around him.
Yes, the things that you say.
Kara put her boyfriend through a portal. And I get it. I haven't put anybody through a portal, but I've been through, as I'm sure we all have, breakups that totally rock our world for the foreseeable future. But it does seem like the show as a whole, and I guess because Kara is your POV character to an extent, if Kara goes a little darker, the rest of the show goes a little darker. But again, brings me back to, I'm really hoping that this is her point where she pivots away from that.
Right. I hope that this kind of episode that felt a little out of sequence, for lack of a better description, really brings about that change and we get a little bit of lighthearted Kara back, or at least soul-searching Kara. Like, I feel like for a while she's kind of just been at one level, if you will. And this, I hope she kind of... is able to figure out who she is, maybe outside of her boyfriend.
Chat, first of all, you guys are killing it tonight. Just murdering it. Ivan Soto says, it was the love of her life! And yeah, okay, I get it, dude. Like, and again, that part of it made sense to me. Episodes like 1, 2, 3, like, I was like, yeah, totally, like, you're depressed and it's upsetting. Don't remember,
like, I'm making light of it, but I also, it does track.
Yes, that part is earned. It's the rest of the mopey stuff, like, I understood, like, wanting to just not be Supergirl anymore and being like, I don't know where I am in the part. But then, like, the trip into this is so weird. And at some point, even though she's still healing, like, it would be cool to either see her get better or see her do things to detrimentally get worse. But we're just seeing the same kind of upsetness. And it's just like, let's move on with this story is where I'm at. Someone else, Jared Scroggin, I hope I said your name right. They were making Kara out to be a god. Bakara was thinking she was better than humans, which we saw a lot last season. So maybe now she'll come back down to Earth because she realizes, you know, I'm not a god. We saw the cut. That's actually a really good point. That kind of makes me like this episode just a little bit more.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, I feel like I wanted a moment from Kara or Supergirl where she kind of has that moment of freaking out. Like, I don't know what it would be like to have a cult about me, but I feel like she should have had that freak out moment.
You put it together for me now. Here's my issue with it.
Okay.
She doesn't go far enough. It's not like you need to stop. Like, especially to me, Kara, the Supergirl I know, when people start putting themselves in danger, like, she gets pissed. Like, and we've seen Kara go from, like to a sort of dangerous Supergirl, or at least a more aggressive Supergirl in the past. And I was upset that we didn't get, like, before the kryptonite is revealed, like, I don't feel like she was passionately enough. Like, she felt so far away from Supergirl. And maybe that's the point, like, at the end. But not having her here really bothers me. Like, this is a point where I need Supergirl to be back and be like, you are putting lives in danger. This is not cute. It's not funny. I've told you to stop. And you're not stopping. And it's an issue. And I feel like she was just like, I don't know if she was babying him because, like, he was worshiping her. I don't know if she's too stuck in the mud from all the, from the thing that's happened to her. But I want my Supergirl back. Like, I want kick-butt Kara back in the chair.
So I want to... So it sounds like we all generally want the same type of pivot to happen. So piggybacking on that and a couple of other things we've talked about, my eyes keyed into this comment in the chat from Hunger Games fan 032312.
There's a lot of numbers.
My
there.
Eyesight rocks. I got it. says, it's not just about her boyfriend. It's about everything she's lost. She's lost her family, her entire planet. Losing Mon-El brought those feelings back. Yes. Totally fair. And to tie it back into this idea of a pivot, one of the ideas in this episode, and you know, your mileage is definitely going to vary on an episode like this, but one of the ideas that I thought was really interesting and may feed into that ascent from the darkness is that she actually got a piece of her culture and her home back. It's not the same as getting her family back. It's not the same as getting Mon-El back, but it is a piece of Kryptonian culture, a piece of home for her, a piece of her childhood that she now has. She has returned to her.
I think, to be fair, maybe my issue is, like, I'm just not a religious person at all.
Nor am I.
And usually, but I'm fascinated by religious culture and experience, and I felt like when I get to see how that's pitted against each other, I feel like if you're going to broach a subject, especially this intently, when you're dealing with, like, acts of terrorism, when you're dealing with what is faith, and is faith blind, or is there, like, real-world tangible things that encourage your faith, you really need to dive into those themes. And I felt like they were kind of talked about in a circular way, but never really addressed or confronted within the action.
Well, I feel like a lot of it was, most of what they were doing was shorthand. It was a metaphor for just about any religion you wanted
it
to be.
It was just so vague. Like, please don't be offended by any of the things we have said here, which, if you're going to approach religion, I think you got to just, for me anyway, it needs to go all of the way. I've noticed a kind of trend culturally of people being like, well, we want to, like, if you have faith, like, that's fair, and it totally is fair. You're allowed to have faith. It's hard for me to get into shows that deal a lot with religion. It's just hard for me to access it emotionally, I guess.
For me, it's never about what the story is necessarily. It's how they're telling it. And again, like, another idea that I thought was really interesting in this episode, and actually the DC movies hit this pretty hard with Superman. The idea that in this world, if a being, especially one that resembled humans, with godlike powers descended from the sky, I don't think it would take all of that much time for some sort of religious sect to form around
that's
them.
Totally fair.
I think that makes a lot of sense, and I think that's a lot of what was at play tonight, was this idea of, if you had this person who could save everyone. I mean, and that's kind of what they're claiming in this cult religion, whatever you want to call it, is that she's able, it doesn't matter how many people, like, what the situation is, Supergirl will always be there. And I thought one of the most powerful moments in the episode is when Supergirl is laying on the floor and you kind of see that, like, she can't be everything to everyone, right? And I think that's a lesson that she's going to have to internalize as well, because I think for a long time, that's been what she is.
And have we seen her on the show? I know we've seen her incapacitated by various forms of kryptonite. Mm-hmm. To my memory, this is as low physically as we've seen her brought by green kryptonite, at least.
As far as I can remember in chat, call us out if there's an episode where you feel like she was more... I could not... I feel like this was when she really was, like, almost stopped by it and really couldn't.
Yeah, you know. Sorry. Yes, somebody said their favorite part was the pure imagination part, and it made me snicker because it was also my favorite part, because why is that song here?
Right, and we don't worry, we're going to get there, actually, but I want to talk a little... Well, actually, let's jump into that.
I was confused by that
woof.
One.
So...
I thought the little very pretty singing voice on that little girl.
She sang beautifully.
All the little
it's
girls doing the Supergirl
song.
Dance was
they
great.
They were very cute.
Big fan of all that.
All actually give a shout out to all of the additional casts this week. We're really solid. Like, lead cult guy was good. Blonde chick who was talking about when she fell off the building, which is actually she... They think they actually brought that actress back. Like, we see Supergirl.
Yes.
She's having a fight with Kat, like, on the balcony, I think. And then she hears the girl falling and she, like, leaps to save her. If I remember correctly, or she's talking to somebody, I remember.
Oh, you got me beat memory-wise. Yeah.
And she's like, fall, and she hears the falling, and then takes off to save her. I believe that's the same actress. Again, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. I'll check Reddit boards tonight. But she also was really great in her performance of, like, this is why I believe in Supergirl, and I thought all of that was really great. But yeah, I didn't understand the song choice.
There were some odd... Yeah, that was an odd one to me. I think it's just what kids sing, though. I don't...
Is it?
I don't...
Are there that many? Do you think that many? Like, how old could Ruby possibly be?
Ruby's max 12.
Seven? Yeah. Right. I would say seven max to 12. 12. Do 7 to 12-year-old kids still know Willy Wonka?
I don't know. I just...
I mean, if they do, that's awesome. But do they?
I agree with you that... But I think it was meant to be a break from what else we were kind of getting in this episode.
Well, part of me, in context, given the rest of the episode, I was like, is this a thinly veiled commentary of some kind?
That's what we were talking about, because it was like, we'd had all this discussion about religion built into the conversation and structurally for the show, and then, like, pure imagination. What are we saying in this moment? And I think maybe it was for Alex, and, like, this is the most childlike wonder song kind of moment maybe that they got, but it didn't, in the scheme of the rest of the show, it did not work.
Well, I think that's exactly it. I think that to get that B storyline, which we will talk about in a second or two, they needed a song that brought about that childhood emotion. And maybe it was not the best song choice, and I agree it was a little out of left field for me. But I get what they were trying to do with it, which was bring up those childhood themes, because Maggie and Alex, certainly, that's something that they're going to be addressing in the episodes to come. Like, it's very clear at this point. But I do want to wrap up the discussion of the Supergirl cult before we go there. And where I got really creeped out in the episode was when these people were starting to do violent acts to show their faith to this organization. And that's where it got weird for me.
Well, sure. I got news for you about the real world.
Right. No, I understand the real
from
the
So, but no, that's like one of the things I thought was the most interesting about it, even though we've talked about how a lot of it was painted with broad strokes. I liked even in the broad strokes where this cult could essentially stand in for almost any major organized religious group that there is, I still liked some of the points that we were able to make. I mean, you look at Coville at the beginning of the episode when he saved with everybody else in the plane crash, and he's just the worst. He's picking on this poor guy next to him on the plane who's done nothing to him that I can tell. And, like, you watch this poor boy's face drop.
Is my wife cheating on me?
During the entire
What's
prologue.
What's happening?
And, like, you can read on this guy's face, like, oh my God, he knows my life. It's like you're imagining him getting off the plane, immediately picking up his phone, be like, honey, what's up? But you see him completely turn his life around. And you see, like, wow, okay, in more ways than one, Supergirl seems to have saved him, so to speak. And then you watch him slide further and further and further and further into this belief system. And I guess this is the difference between faith and religion, right? Because once you organize, and it's not just religious, once you organize in any way with any type of hierarchical structure, eventually somebody's at the top. And you better hope that whoever's at the top is not so blinded by their convictions and their faith that they're leading you down the wrong path. And that's something, and this is not me making a sweeping indictment of religion, not at all. It's just we've seen over and over and over again how even the best of intentions can either be lost or perverted in the wrong hands. And I think we saw that. And that element of it was interesting.
Yeah, and I think it certainly pushes that pivot that we're talking about. But it was hard for me to watch in a lot of ways, because it's when it becomes that, when it becomes violent and aggressive in that way, it changes. It's not in the typical Supergirl arena.
Very much not. Yeah, it's not a comic booky story.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I like about that is I feel like a lot of times superheroes are given these monstrous villains and it's easy to fight those guys because they're evil. And I like the nuance with which she was able to handle a human being who, for all intents and purposes, believes he's trying to do better good, greater good. But as you said, it was kind of had his ideas perverted and misguided. And so I think that's, I would like to see Supergirl fight more villains or baddies like that, that aren't trying to hurt anybody or aren't trying to be terrible people, but just
bring more nuance.
That.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, in a world where Supergirl, the show, is doing the best take on the entire Superman mythos, probably since the original Reeves-Donner movie, Superman in the comics, and a lot of people throw flack at the character. They say, oh, he's boring, he just punches everything. And I agree. If all Superman does is punch his way out of problems, you're right. That's super boring because he can punch really hard.
Yeah. It's not a competition.
And Superman is sometimes reads as boring because he's an incredibly difficult character to write well for exactly, Joel, the reasons you're describing. He is at his best. And Supergirl, I think, is at her best. Not when she's punching stuff, though, of course, it's fun to watch her hit white Martians and whatnot. But when she is actually inspiring people, when she is combating ideas, when she is grappling with the duality of her Kryptonian heritage and her life as a human being, all of that stuff. So there's so much gold to mine there. And I think they do a pretty good job on this show. But I agree with you. You see an episode like this, and even if it's not your favorite or my favorite or anyone's, I want to see them tap that well a little bit more.
I also think that we've talked about it time and time again on the show, that the writers of this show deserve so much credit going on these social issues. And we're continually seeing week after week them talking about issues that matter in a comic book show. And I think that that's a really commendable thing that a lot of other shows are not doing right now, is they're going after these topics. And it's, you know, we're talking about it in a fun and, you know, in Supergirl universe, but they really do have a lot of implications in real world situations.
And it's real gutsy, right? Like last week, and of course last week there was a lot of really interesting thematic character story material as well. But like what I'm thinking about right now is we went from an episode in which the climax was a bunch of Martians flying around and hitting each other, and the very next week, without really missing a step, even though we did take a slight detour, we're doing this incredibly pointed take on the idea of religion and how the line between religion and cult can sometimes get blurred. That's gutsy.
Yeah.
Didn't do it for you.
I just don't think we tackled the issue hard enough, and I don't think here's the thing. To summarize, I would say it tackled a question harder. You just pick one. Like religion, there's so many different things to talk about, a lot of different structures and decisions made in participating in a religion. And I feel like no difficult questions were asked or answered, and so I had a hard time. I feel like we got there. I feel like Lex broke it down for me. So I was like, okay, I get where this episode fits in the larger scheme of things. But I just think they played it a little too safe. They go really hard for those like feminist moments. They go really hard on race issues occasionally. I wish they had gone a little bit harder on religion. But that's okay. I want to talk about lesbians.
I was just about to say that's a perfect transition.
Real quick, before we hit the lesbians, because there's a whole bunch
stopping
in this direction.
Lesbian transition.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, because there's a lot of like really truly beautiful moving stuff in that direction, but I wanted to hit two moments before I forget to in this episode that really got me. One was the story the girl did tell Supergirl about catching her when she fell off the ledge and how she felt truly saved, and she felt like all of a sudden she mattered. And it reminded me very much of the page, one of the most iconic pages, it became a meme at a certain point, Grant Morrison's All-Star Superman, where he appears behind a young person who's standing on a ledge about to jump and take their own life. And he essentially, I'm heavily paraphrasing, but essentially says, "You're not alone. I see you. I'm here for you."
I think that's where I remember it from, because he's definitely on Earth. He's talking to Lois. Yes. Superman, before he goes to save this girl, is talking to Lois and is like, she's like, you should, like, we don't spend enough time together, and I need to see more of you, essentially. I'm paraphrasing. And he's like, yes, I have to go.
Hang on. Yeah.
I have to go. And she's like, where? No.
I have to go get ice.
I have to go save this girl. Maybe that's what I remember. I know this moment happens before someone jumps. Anyway,
but that I have to assume was an intentional nod to that page. Yes. But not for nothing, All-Star Superman is one of, for my money, not just Superman books ever written, but one of the greatest comic stories of all time. You will cry at least once. The other scene that I really, really liked in this episode was the scene between Kara and Jimmy, where Jimmy tells her the story of the first time he met Superman.
Jimmy! Yeah.
A wonderful scene. And, like, Macaad Brooks is so dang good in this role and has been since the pilot. And I hope they give him more to do this year.
I just get every scene with him is so great. And they, like, I know that there's, like, who's she going to date, blah, blah, blah. But such good acting chemistry between the two of them. And it's so fun anytime they have a scene together. Really great scene partners. So I want more from that as well. But before we get into Maggie and Alex's whole situation, please go on and rate, comment, let us know what you're thinking. YouTube.
There's a new comment.
There's a review. Who's got internet?
Oh, let's see if we can pull it up.
YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. We look at them all. We want to hear from you.
If you're outside, if you can't access the American iTunes store to leave a review, right, you could still screen cap it and send it and we'll get it and we can still read it.
Exactly. And also tweet at us. We're great about that as well.
So good.
There's so many ways to reach out. We want to hear from you. And let us know what you thought about this episode. It's certainly different from a lot of other ones that Supergirl has done in the past. So I don't know. Like, let me know what you're thinking. I feel like the chat has been into it. So thank you also for watching us live and chatting with us. You're great. So let's jump into, if we find that review, we'll get there. But let's jump into Maggie and Alex. And this, I feel like this has been the B storyline that has been playing out all season. Maggie does not want children, and Alex clearly does, and this is going to come to a huge head.
So, I haven't been here all season so far, and this has been a B story that we've been tracking since the premiere.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about this B story?
I think it's a really realistic...
I know how Joelle feels about this.
Joelle is shaking her head vehemently no. So I just feel like what I like about this is I think it's going on too long. Like, I want it to now, and I think it will in the next episode, come to some sort of head. I want the fight between Alex and Maggie, whether it ends their relationship or not, it's something that absolutely needs to be discussed. What I do like about it, though, is that I think that this is an issue that couples have, that it's something that happens, like, do I want kids, how many kids, and all of that, and it's something that you have to either agree upon or compromise, whatever it is, however you solve that problem. I'm not here to tell you how to.
Thanks.
Yeah, like, that's totally fine, but like, I like that they're going again with this issue.
Okay, so I'm gonna compliment Sandwich it. This is an important issue, you know, it is a challenging issue that a lot of people have to face, discuss, talk about. I'm really glad that, the show wants to address these kinds of issues. Dope. My problem is that it is not at all dramatically interesting because you know immediately that she just wants to have a baby. Like, it is written all over her face. There's never been a moment where I'm like, maybe Alex could not have a child. Like, for three episodes, I've been like, girl, just admit it to yourself. And that in and of itself is a huge problem, just again, dynamically for the show, because I've been telegraphing this B story for forever. And I have a feeling like next week I already know exactly what's going to happen with this story. I just want something. I'll throw in a second compliment, which is that thank you for not destroying the lesbian relationship in death. We've seen happen time and time and time again on a ton of network shows where it's like...
I mean, I hope they still don't, but it's not outside the realm of possibility.
It seems pretty clear to me that that's not what's going to happen.
I'm with you in that I very much hope it doesn't.
Yeah, I agree with you that that would be a really tragic end to this. I love them as a couple and...
The one thing I'll say for Supergirl is they are on their feminist tip. Like, they may flounder around on other, but for where the feminism comes in, they're really on point about it. And this is a huge topic, and it's the CW. And with 100 having had an entire convention made out of the death of a lesbian character, I'm really hoping that they don't follow in those footsteps. Because it's, again, it's fine for people to die. They just need to have a reason that they're dead. There needs to be a valid reason and point behind why characters are killed off. So I'm not saying, because I get the sense that Maggie might not be around for much longer. Like, there seems to be a closing of this. She, like, dealt with her father last week. It seems like the girls are kind of splitting apart.
Well, so, like, So you phrased it, I think, more eloquently than it had occurred to me, too. The way you phrased it was it's not all that dramatically satisfying.
Yeah, no, it's not at all.
And I agree, although I think Floriana Lima and Kyler Lee just crush every single scene.
I love seeing them together.
And not even just together. I think they crush dang near every moment that I can think of that I see them. And I think they're playing this storyline very, very, very well. And I agree, it's a very real issue that couples face. And yeah, it can be insurmountable because once you commit to the idea of having kids, you've made a decision about what your life will be. And you've made a decision about what you feel you need your life to be mm-hmm. to be fulfilled. And if somebody else doesn't feel that way, yeah, like Alex says, once Maggie's completely made up her mind, the only way to really resolve it is for her to let it go. And that can be dang near impossible. I'm engaged intellectually. I'm not really emotionally hooked because as much as I love the two of them, honestly, at this point in my life, I'm not thinking a whole lot about kids at all. So this is something that I have a hard time relating to beyond intellectually, which is totally fine. There are plenty of circumstances depicted on this program that I cannot personally relate to. The other issue I'm having with it, and this is a me thing, is that I know why this storyline is here.
Yeah.
Because I read the news.
Dailies, you know,
yeah.
Things.
So I don't want to spoil anything that I think we can all see coming if we read these stories. But like, if everybody wants to like cover their ears for 3 seconds, can you play the spoiler alarm?
Spoiler alert!
Do we know where that
spoiler
is? ready? If you really don't want this news that's been out there for there we go.
Spoiler alert!
If you don't want this news that's been out for months and months and months spoiled for you, cover your ears for like 7 seconds in 3, 2, 1. Okay, so we know that Floriana Lima is leaving the show.
Yes.
We knew this going in.
Yeah.
And so this is not the fault of the writing. This is the fault of, like, news just comes out, and you know, and then you watch the show knowing that they're building towards the exit of a character.
But you blame the writing just a little bit, because even if you don't, like, the writing is on the wall, like, within the show. Like, it's all happening so clean. And I guess that's really my problem, is I feel like a lot of the drama that's happening has been so clean lately. Like,
it feels
with her father,
little...
like, he came in for one episode, they met up, it wasn't working out, leave. It would have been, just dramatically more interesting if I'll try and make it work, and then he leaves at the wedding. My God, what's happening? How traumatic for you?
Right.
It's much more interesting if Alex continues to try to push children on Maggie, even knowing that she's not going to change her mind, trying different ways to maybe try to open her up to the possibilities because she doesn't want to end this relationship. That's dramatically interesting. I just feel like we're hitting, like, everything just wrapping up so easily and clean.
Like you say, like, clean very much. And, like, the word I was going to use, and I was going to say contrived, but that sounds way harsher than I mean it. I actually think the individual moments, the individual pieces, the gears work really well. But I agree, it feels a little bit manufactured out of necessity, which it is, because this actress who was a recurring guest star, I assume she booked a series regular somewhere else, and that's what you do. You gotta chase the bigger job.
Not mad at her for it.
No, not at all. It's a shame, because I love her on the show, and I love them together, but no, that's how the business works.
I agree with you on that. I love them as a couple, but I also wish that if they were gonna go into this issue, that they really kind of went, like, Alex told her sooner, and we got a little bit more of if it's going to work, why? If it's not going to work, why? I want a little bit more of, like, that, like, can we compromise? What does this look like?
I feel like, yeah.
Because Alex is, like, resigned in a lot of ways to, like, this is never going to work.
And I feel like there's no way, especially with the amount of, like, love that she's professing for her. Yeah. Which is kind of what I liked her breakdown at the end, because what a challenging place to be in. To be like, I love you, I don't want to let you go, but I can't see my life without children, which is why I wish 3 episodes ago we would have started, like, what about adopting older teenagers? like, what if we, like, what if we, like, mentored children on the weekends? Like, what if, like, I wish there had been some back and forth about how they might live their lives together and compromise on having children.
Because I think that there's a way to have a balance, but they're kind of already decided. Like, Alex has decided for herself, this isn't going to work. But before we run out of time, I do want to talk about the big reveal at the end of the episode. It was teased all day on social media today. Like,
it really was.
I feel like I knew this reveal long before it was happening. But so Sam, of course, you see her kind of imagine that she is going to be Rain, and then you see it actually be.
And then, like, this Dementor shows up in her bathroom. And, like, not for nothing. Of course this chick is going to turn into a scary person. Everybody keeps talking to her so creepy.
Yeah. It's also very Halloween. I know that that's probably random, but it felt very Halloween.
It did. I also find the storyline to be wicked confusing.
I just need more, because the random, as you say, the random people coming in who are kind of engaging with her being like, you are powerful. Like, I want to kind of know more, and maybe if I was better with the comic books, I would know more.
I don't think you should need to be better with the comic books in order to follow here. Like, I feel like if you're a fan of the comic books, like, Easter eggs are always great. Like, little, like, nods to you that the audience doesn't necessarily need to be in on is totally fine. But the fact that, like I'm not very familiar with Rain, the character. You know, you're not, like, you're not caught up on all the comics. Like, it's confusing for us as viewers, and I think that's highly problematic. I'm excited about the character. I do think that they're setting her up to be potentially the most evil because, again, as we talked about earlier, normal person trying to do the right thing who has no control over her situation at this point from what we can tell about the character. So I like the idea of, like, how is Supergirl going to battle an all-powerful being, which it looks like she might be. We know she's super strong when she needs to be. And not hurt someone who is friends with her best friend, and now she's become like an auntie to her child. Like, that's going to be really cool and messy and dramatically interesting, which I'm excited about.
Hang on, taking bets now, and I guess we're not going to know. We're not going to know for what. This was four, so like 18 weeks plus however long the hiatus is. Mm-hmm. Do we take bets now on whether or not they're going to do, like, if Rain is going to be like her doomsday?
You gotta imagine that it is.
Like, are we taking bets now?
I'm going to bet at least part of the city is destroyed.
But, like, what are the odds that season three ends with, like, quote-unquote, the death of Supergirl?
Oh.
Not a permanent. It's a comic book show, and it's a universe within these interconnected shows where death is basically a revolving door.
Right.
But what...
I think they're going to push towards that. I don't know that we're actually going to get that.
That would be really interesting. Yeah. A defeated Supergirl. Because we've seen a down Supergirl.
And then
never
having
a defeated Supergirl.
Having to come back from that.
I mean, I know we talked about the Flash comparison earlier, but that certainly
I wouldn't mind seeing the team without Supergirl for, like, you know, an episode or two.
Be like, going back to,
like,
Buffy. Or Flash. I was going straight back to Buffy at the end of season
totally.
5, beginning of season 6.
When are you getting a Buffy podcast?
When do you want to do one, Joelle?
I'm going to introduce you to Danielle later. But I digress. I'm excited by Rain. First of all, grand makeup. The show's been doing some really cool stuff with makeups. Yeah. They decided to take Martian Manhunter into the real world. At the actor's request, he was like, I can do it. Trust me. And he can do it, and it does look good. But hers was really good. It's a lot of little, like, stippling staple. What am I thinking of? What is the thing when you fill the thing in and it's...
Sudoku?
No, like if you were like spray painting and it's...
Graffiti?
I don't know.
A stencil?
Yes!
We got there.
It's so late! Stenciling. It just looked like a lot of work, and it was clean and it looked amazing.
I also think the actress, and forgive me, it's Odadette, right?
Yeah, I believe.
So Odadette does a phenomenal job. She's really doing... it's a complex character, as we talked about. It's not totally clear, but she's bringing it every week, and I really appreciate that. With that, I think we should jump into predictions.
Okay.
Predictions. And now you're... they don't say, and now you're AfterBuzz TV anymore.
Flashing lights. Ah, yeah. Okay, we did it.
Got to shave those seconds. I feel like I just gave, like, three, didn't I?
You did.
But I think what I'm really excited about is hopefully that this episode is the pivot that we're looking for, and that we start to see Supergirl kind of build herself back up. I'm hoping that this, like, kind of as we build to the mid-season finale, that we're seeing her kind of get her, I hate this term, mojo back, though. Yeah.
Sure. I want to say thank you to Jared and Helena Needs Hugs for getting stencils as well. You guys are really awesome. I want to ask you guys, Bets, okay, so we know that next week is going to be Maggie's last week.
Do we know that?
Yeah, we're pretty confident. So, death or leaving?
Okay, so as much as I do not want them to kill her off for a number of reasons, how the heck are they going to resolve everything that they need to resolve with the two of them in one more episode?
I don't know.
I think leaving brokenhearted. That's my prediction.
I assume that was inevitable, but I feel like that's still a lot of ground to cover in 42 minutes with where it's probably still going to be the B plot at most.
Right. I don't know. I think that that's where we're. I don't think they're going to kill her off. I think it's going to be more of this, like, the relationship. She's, like, upset. It's going
to
be that.
I don't feel like there's much ground to cover. Maybe that's why they didn't make it as great, because it really comes down to this. Here's how I picture it. Maggie sees Alex staring at a child and goes, "You can't do this. You want to, but you can't." And then she leaves. And that leaves guest starring opportunities later in her future.
Interesting. Yeah.
That's I mean, that would be the best case scenario, I think, is like write her out in a way, right, where she can come back and like Alex will be in her next like good relationship and he'll come back and just shake everything up.
Hit us up in like season 6. Like, whoa, my God,
she'll be
back.
She'll be like Riley. Only not the worst.
Yeah. Also, she's bi, so quotes and predictions. Does she go with a male next or a female next?
Aren't there rumors about possibly a bit of a love connection with Sarah Lance during the crossover?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you didn't realize you needed that,
I was going to say, we may have needed to do a spoiler alert on that. I had read that, but...
Rumors? Spoiler? Unsubstantiated? I wasn't there.
All right. Well, I think that with that bombshell.
I mean, look, but the last thing that was like, I'm very much with you in that, like, season 3 of The Flash seemed to bum a lot of people out as far as the tone being so relatively somber and mopey. Didn't bother me as much as it seemed to bother some other people. But I do think a lot of these shows are at their best when they are bright and they are fun. And that doesn't mean we can't tell stories with serious stakes. In fact, I think The Flash being as bright as it was, say, in season 1, was what made some of the devastating emotional blows that much more impactful.
The third time you see Barry's mom die, spoiler alert, real rough.
Still works. Still somehow works. They killed her every season, and I still cry.
Perfection.
But I think, especially in a world where Arrow is angsty enough for 7 shows, I think, yeah, these shows are at their best when they're a bit brighter overall, and especially Supergirl, because in the DC Comics pantheon, Superman and Supergirl, more than any other character, are the ones meant to represent the best we can be, the brightest aspects of ourselves, the truly aspirational figure. And although I love mining Kara's human experiences for that emotional gold, I'd like to see her get back to that soaring beacon that we all look to.
Yeah, definitely. And I just, I guess I didn't know how much I needed Kara. Which is a little shocking to me. I've been watching the show for a long time. I've liked it, but I didn't realize how much I identified and supported and loved the arrogant Kara I was bashing, like, back in season 2.
Yeah.
But I was like, how dare she think she's so much better than everyone? I'm like, come back here and just demand people obey your authority. Like,
I really want to see her kind of come out of this and I think figure out who she is outside of this, outside of kind of this traumatic experience and everybody leaving her. And that's really what the problem is she feels like no one stays. If she can figure that out, that's a really interesting plot for the rest of the season.
Also, Siri is just more of John and his dad.
Yes.
I just want I just want more like daddy-son Martian adventures.
I would like a road trip episode. I would like...
In their spaceship car!
Yeah, I want him to meet a white Martian girlfriend. She's not really his girlfriend, but kind of, because we haven't really had that. And what are the customs like?
It's like, guess who's coming to dinner from Martians?
Yes, and then I would... Yes! Yes! Lex! Yes! And then Finally, I would also like an episode where they discuss their religion and, like, where he's kind of going, like, this.
Yeah,
like,
we end the episode in, like, our little closing montage. We see Jean kneel next to his father to pray. And, yeah, I'm going, like, wait, what? We could do a whole nother hour on that. Are we going to do a whole hour on
that? That's dynamically interesting, because what are you guys, like, what are they praying for? Like, Mars is gone. So, like, what, I'm not, again, that's not, like, downing on their religion. I'm just curious as, like, what holds that together? Like, again, dramatically interesting is, like, what do you keep believing in when everything else is gone? Fascinating stuff. And those guys together are just amazing.
So good.
I feel like we've brought up a lot of questions tonight.
So many.
And please let us know what you're thinking on social media. You can find AfterBuzz at AfterBuzzTV. You can find me at Stephanie Wenger.
I'm Joel Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joel Monique, and every week at blackgirlnerds.com. You can check my review for Thor is out on Black Girl Nerds right now. Sundays, not for the next week, but the week after, we have Animation Weekly, which I do with Carrie D. Lane, and it's super amazing and fun, and we definitely want you guys to check that out. And finally, if you check out my Instagram, which is Joel_Monique, this weekend, I'll be in London covering the Justice League press junket. So there's, like, behind-the-scenes stuff. There's the new Batman car. Potentially interviews with some of the stars. So definitely check that out.
Sweet. I am all over social media at TheLexMichael. I'm here at AfterBuzz. I talk about this show. You know that because I'm here again, which is super exciting.
Yay.
For me. I talk Legends of Tomorrow on Tuesday nights. I have a show with Tari J. Miller, our fearless leader, who is currently trapped in the Speed Force. It is called Missing Out, where
it's
we
so good.
We turn each other on to various pieces of media
it's
that
amazing.
We missed based on our various differences in cultural backgrounds.
So thrilling.
We had Lucretia Lyon on recently. We had Mr. Dave Child, who you may know if you watch the Legends
Joel's
panel.
Invitation must have been lost in the mail.
We're planning on getting both of these ladies
Rude.
On if we can afford their quote. We're working things out. But check that show out. We are at Missing Outcast on Twitter, and we're wherever you can find your podcasts. We're on the iTunes. We're on the Stitcher. We're on the Google Play thing. Check us out. Mwah.
And fingers crossed, we'll all be back next week. But thank you so much for tuning in and hanging out with us this week. So see you all soon. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Hail Satan! But seriously, who's Kryptonian Satan?
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.